Nice finish up there at the yawn. Guy visits a small village and walks into the pub. Place is packed. Looks around, finds a place to sit, and orders a beer. As he's drinking his beer, someone stands up and yells, 23! And the place starts roaring in laughter. The guy, obviously confused, just shrugged it off and continues to drink his beer. A few moments later, another one stands up and yells, 145! And again, a roar of laughter. Some guys even slapping their legs as they're laughing so long, so hard. Now, really confused, the guy turns to the person next to him and asks, what's going on? Why is everyone laughing so much when the number's called out? Well, we know all the jokes, so we just numbered them. That way we have to tell the whole joke. Go ahead, give it a try. Guy stands up and yells, 1,022! And it's pandemonium. People are laughing, crying, falling off their chairs, spilling their drinks, rolling on the floor, laughing. The guy looks over again at the person next to him and says, what just happened? Why? What did I say? It's so funny. He goes, oh, the man's gasped out of between his roars of laughter and says, we've never heard that one before. Mm-hmm. 128. Okay, never mind. I want to talk to you today about the village people. Yeah. So before you leave here, you might not be yelling. You might be find yourself yelling out numbers, but yelling out letters. You know, YMCA. You know that. Okay, not really. Not those village people. I'm going to talk about village people. How many of you are aware that when someone came to Jesus, they were always healed? Sometimes, however, he did it in ways that if he were to come to us the way he went to some of them, we probably would never have received our miracle because we would have been offended by how he did it. On two occasions, Jesus healed the blind by using his spit. Sometimes, the way in which God does things might look like a mess, but if we allow it to handle the way it's supposed to handle, you'll find out it's your miracle. Oftentimes, it looks messy because it simply goes against something that we had thought in our head of how it should happen. You know, we have our ideas of how we think the breakthrough should come, how we think the miracle should happen, how we think everything should be around us, how it should take place. And so we oftentimes, you know, simply, you know, get offended because it goes against the way that we would have done things. And hear this, church, if your marriage looks like a mess, there's a miracle on the other end. If your family looks like a mess, there's a miracle behind it. If your life looks like a mess, there's a miracle behind it. Amen? Sometimes things look a little messy. So let's dive in today. Let's dive in. I want to share both of these blind man stories with you today. And the first is in Mark chapter 8. I'll begin at verse 22. It says this. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." That's story number one. Here's story number two. John 9, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Let's skip down to verse 6. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. In the first story in the Greek, if you look at the original Greek, that first story, it describes the man that was blind, but he actually was at one time able to see, and something in his life happened that caused him to go blind. So he had sight once, and now he was blind. That's how that first one portrays. We don't know what happened. We don't know how it was, but that is what happened. He at one time could see. Now he can't. The second man, the second story, he was born blind. So I want to break those two down for you today and talk about the village people. Look at the first part of verse 23 once more of Mark chapter 8. It said this. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Sometimes, to get your miracle, you need to leave the village. You need to leave the village people behind. And by that I mean those negative folks, those naysayers, those complacent ones, those that are trying to talk you out of what God's trying to get you to go to. Sometimes you need to leave those village people behind so that God can do what he needs to do in your life. And so he led the man out of the village. There comes a time when Jesus will take you out of your place of comfort, take you out of your place of complacency. Too often we want just everything to happen like it's supposed to happen. We want to hang out with all those that simply affirm our problems. They simply affirm our struggles. They confirm our brokenness. They confirm our struggles and our sin. We want to hang out with them because it seems so easy to sit back and say, yay, I got someone that understands. No, they don't quite understand. God has something better for you if you just simply leave that village behind. So God leads us outside the village that we can do what he called us to do and do what he's asked us to do and help him just perform in through us what he wants to walk through us and break through us. Amen? But in order for Jesus to do the miracle, he needs to remove you from the village people. Because the people that are in the village are not willing, or at least, maybe not willing, but they don't believe that God has something better for you than what he's already given to you. And as long as you stay in the village with those people, God is limited in giving you the miracle or the breakthrough you need. How can I say that? Look at this, Matthew 13, 58 says, and he did not do many miracles there because of the lack of faith. Same story, Mark's account. It says this, Mark 6, 5 and 6. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at the lack of faith. Same story, Matthew, Mark, or same account, but listen to Mark's account one more time, verse 6. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I don't know about you. I want God to be amazed with me. But not because of my lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Back to our text. You need to be around people who will propel you and help you cling to the future God has for you. Not around those that continually bring up and help you live out your past. You need to leave those village people behind, amen? Because they're hindering what God wants to do in your life. They're hindering what God has planned for you. They're hindering what all God wants to do through you and in you and with you. And so if we just stay with the village people, just hold out with them, you'll never get the destiny that God's called you to, because they're holding you back. They're not allowing you to reach the potential God has for you, the destiny He's called you to. How do we know this place was a place of a problem place that he had to deal with? Because look what it says in verse 26 of Mark 8. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. It's not worth going back to. There's nothing there for you. In other words, there are things back in that village not worth going to. And hear this, church, God is trying to pull some of you out of your complacency, your faithlessness, your situation, and I know it can be uncomfortable, but if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead you out, you will never reach your destiny. You will be stuck with the village people that really don't care if you are succeed or not, and are set free or not, or blind or not. You'll be stuck there in that mode, and you're wondering, woe is me, what? Because God's leading you out of where you were so he can take you to where you need to be. If he's taking you out of a relationship, out of a situation, out of a habit, it's time to stop complaining and say thank you. Because it means that you're about to see what you could not see in the village. You need never go back to that village. They might call you, they might message you, they might text you, but you never go back when God sends you out. That situation is behind, that habit is behind, that relationship is behind, and you can't afford to go back. You can't afford to go back to defeat or depression or brokenness or sin. You can't afford. Truth is, church, what lies behind you compares nothing to what lies before you. So Jesus takes him out of the village and spits on his eyes. Why would Jesus spit on his eyes? Surely there had to be a better method. Surely there had to be a better way. I can imagine that if I called you up to pray and called you up here and I just said, now I'm going to just do what I feel God wants me to do, and I'm gonna spit on you, and I'm talking on purpose. You know, I'm sure many of you would walk out offended and never come back to this place. So why would Jesus spit in his eyes? Because Jesus, you ready for the answer? That's what I think anyway. Jesus needed to transfer his DNA to the man that was blind. Jesus saying, with your DNA, you're blind. But with my DNA, you're about to see what you never saw. You're about to see what you could not see. And church, you need to hear this. When you received Jesus and were filled with the Spirit, you received the very DNA of God Almighty. Romans 8:11 says this, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You already possess the DNA of God Almighty. So Jesus spits in his eyes and asks, can you see? He says, I see men as trees. So Jesus touches his eyes again. Just so you know, just let me clarify, this day Jesus did not just have a bad day. This is the only place in Scripture where he had to do a double take. The only place. Jesus did not have a bad day. It's not like he said, you know, my faith today just doesn't feel like it. I'm going to do it twice. Sorry, dude. It's like, you know, it's like, it's not like he was just thinking, you know, I'm just a little off today. I woke up late. You know, that's not Jesus' problem going through this thing. He's not having an off problem, an off day. Here's what I think happened here. The reason there was a double take, I don't want to say split a second time, because he touched his eyes a second time. So I'm not saying he spit twice, but maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But here's what I think happened in that situation, because remember, once we talked about in the Greek, this man could see, but something happened that now he could not. So what happens when someone who could see no longer can see? Their memory stores the last experience that they had. So the last thing he saw were men and trees. So his memory stored that because now he could no longer see it at all, but his memory stored the fact that that's what he saw last. His old experience. So now hear this, church. Jesus touches you. When he calls you, when he delivers you, when he saves you, when he anoints you, when he blesses you, when he transforms you, whatever it might be, you are a new man, you are a new woman, and you need to look through the lens of the new and not the experiences of the old. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here, let me read that from the Passion Translation. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. When you became a child of God, you became a new creature. But you will never do the new thing living the same old way. You will never do the new thing doing the same old thing. You must be willing to let go of the grip of the old so that you can grasp, fully grasp, what is new. The man I used to be, I no longer am. I've left the village people behind. The way I talk, I don't talk that way. The way I used to talk, I don't talk that way anymore. The way I used to live, I don't live that way anymore. The way I act, I act different. Why? Because I'm different. I'm a new man. And I refuse to go back to the village. There's nothing there for me. I've been there. I bought the t-shirt. It wasn't worth the price. I'm a new creation, all because of the blood of the Lamb. So hear this, church. Jesus could have said to this man, you can see. Good. Enjoy. But the man couldn't see clearly enough. So Jesus had to finish what he started. And I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that Jesus didn't just touch me and say, good, enjoy. He continues to work in me so that he can finish what he started. He's by me. He stuck with me. He stayed around me until I got it right. And he does the same for you. He will stay by your side until you get it right, until you can see what he wants you to see. You're not here because you held perfectly unto God. We've all mistaked things. Amen. But you're here because God held onto you perfectly. See, that's blind man number one. And here's the point of that story I want you to get. Jesus can restore what you once had. Joel 2:25 tells us that God will restore what the locust has eaten. Jesus will restore what the enemy has taken. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give life and that more abundantly. But blind man two, his story even gets better. His story. Look at the verse one more time. John 9:1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. So not only will Jesus restore what you lost, but he will give you what you never had. Not only will Jesus restore what you've lost, but he'll give you what you never had. God wants to show you things that you never have seen before. The one with the issue of blood, you know, Jesus touched her and, you know, she touched him with his garment and he gave her, you know, her health back. It's me. Lazarus dies. Jesus comes along. Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus gives him his life back. But this man, this one, Jesus is about to give him something that he never had before. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, however, as is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Let me read that from the Passion Translation one more time. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. Things we can't even imagine. Things we've never seen before. And church, you need to understand that there are some things that God does not want to restore. He simply wants to create new. So Jesus takes the mud and he spreads it on his eyes. And tells him to go wash himself in the pool. And I can imagine as this man's walking around, everybody's looking at him thinking, he looks like a mess. But his miracle was going to come through the process. So often we want the mess to be gone, the situation to be over. But I need you to know, I need you to hear this, that if you will just be obedient, your miracle will be just on the other side, if you'll just walk through the process. God, I want you to just use me. But I'm not willing to walk through the process. God, I want to see signs and wonders and miracles follow my life, but I don't know, I just don't want the process. God, I know you've shown me, but I'd rather just have it, you know, happen. But see, truth is, we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time in right relationship with God. We need to talk to Father. You know, Papa really loves us, he does, but he wants us to talk to him every now and then. You know, that's part of the process. It just is. You're going to have times of persecution. That's part of the process. You're going to have times of people not understanding. That's part of the process. You have times of things happening that looks a little messy. It's part of the process. It's interesting that after Jesus spits in the ground, puts the mud on his eyes, he had the same exact DNA as the first man, but still was blind. It wasn't till he walked in obedience and went to the pool and washed himself that he regained his sight. God's DNA was there, just the first one. But it took him being obedient to what God had called him to do before he saw. And if you want to see God use you, deliver you, change you, transform you, restore you, give to you, prosper you, you need to be willing to be obedient to walk in the Word of God. You need to be obedient to the Word that God called you to. His Word is truth. It has purpose. It has meaning. It has life. But you need to be willing to walk it out so you can see the breakthrough. You can see the miracle. So that people might look at you and say, it's messy. But you can say, at the end, in the process of being messy, my miracle is just around the bend. See, your breakthrough will only happen when you're willing to walk in obedience to God, even when things don't look completely clear. See, sometimes we just want everything to just be so picture perfect. We want everything to just be, you know, like, just... Truth is, it rarely happens that way. Rarely happens that way. You know, so many times things are just, you know, not completely clear. Jesus didn't help him anymore. He didn't, you know, take him by the hand and say, I'll help you to the pool. He put the spits on the ground, puts mud in his eyes, says, go. Wash. He sent him to the pool. Now this man could have said, now Jesus, you do understand, right? I'm blind. You do understand that, you know, I made it here simply by your grace because I don't know how you even got here. And now you're asking me to go someplace where I don't know where it's at right off, because I can't see it. You do realize, God, I'm blind. But he didn't do that. He just said, I'm just going to walk out the process. I'm going to walk in obedience to what God has told me to do. See, he didn't complain. He just did. He didn't make excuses. He just went. And some of the body of Christ, they think that their miracle will come by sitting in complacency. Some feel they're entitled to their breakthrough. What you need to understand is that God gave you his DNA. Now it's up to you to walk in obedience. And when you walk in the obedience, thank you, Shar. When you walk in obedience, after you wash off the mess, you'll see things you've never seen before. Let me close today with this little illustration. John chapter 9, verse 14. George, you come. Says this. Now, the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. What's the problem with that? Glad you asked. Is that supposed to happen on the Sabbath? Is that supposed to happen when you think it's supposed to happen? It happened when it wasn't supposed to happen. And church, your breakthrough, your miracle, it may not happen like you expect it to happen. It may not happen like you anticipated it to happen. It may not happen quite like you thought it should happen. It might even be when it's not supposed to happen. You see, it's not supposed to happen with all hell's crashing around you. It's not supposed to happen then. It's not supposed to happen. Life seems it couldn't get any messier. But God will make it happen when you just walk in obedience. God will make it happen when your friends say no way, when the enemy says not on my watch, when your past says never. God will make a way in the desert. It's in those times, it's in that season, when nothing seems in place, that God will step back and say, now it's time. But for God, it's the Sabbath. Not supposed to happen on the Sabbath. I know. But my timing's always perfect. My timing's always spot on. My timing is always, always, always good. So today I want to challenge you. I challenge you to walk in obedience. To walk in faith. Trust Him when everyone around you says no. You just need to say yes. When we can't quite see as clearly as we hoped, we trust Him. Because we've already got His DNA. And so God reaches down to humankind, to all humanity, and He simply says, will you walk through the process? Will you walk through the process? Will you just be obedient to what I'm calling you to? Be obedient to what I've asked you to do? Be obedient to everything? Because He promises that if we'll do that, He says that all His promises are yes and amen. He tells us it's okay. And so He leads us out of the village, first man, saying, don't go back there. There's nothing worth going back there for. I'm making you new. But the only way that we become new we already have the mind of Christ, but the only way that we actually walk in the new that God's called us to is we're obedient to what the Word tells us to do. But so many times we want to go back to the village because we think something's there that's better, something that's valuable. And so all God's asking you to do is let Him lead you into all truth, because the truth will set you free. Stand to your feet for a moment. Father, I humbly come to you today. I bow before your throne. God, I know there's been times in my life that I've tried to go back to a village you've called me from. Forgive me. Father, lead me and guide me where you want me to go. Father, I pray that this church, God, each one that's here, God, each one that's standing here right now, Father, I just pray that you just move in their hearts, God. Search us, try us, know our ways, oh Father. Make us more like you, that we might come before you, God, with thanksgiving and with praise, not with complaining and murmurings. The heart of thankfulness, God, that you've called us out so we've become new. You called us out so we can become better. You called us out so we can become less of us and more of you. Change our hearts, oh God. Teach us your ways. And I give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated for a moment.